Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode. All right, so today is the first in a series that we're calling Lessons from Leadership Mistakes, where we dive deep into mistakes Sten has made.
Andy's mistakes Sten has made.
And so because we're going to be talking about mistakes Sten has made, it's going to be a 412 episode series. I'm just kidding. I actually thought it could be.
It could be a docu-series.
Like that's right. In the next 4 years. No, but here are the ones we're going to talk about, just to give a preview. And then we might have others, but for now, being the bottleneck. And the reason we're going to talk about these is everyone listening to this is going to relate to most, if not all of these. Being the bottleneck, developing a business acumen, which I think is just something that people like sort of just take for granted. Like, oh, you're supposed to know how to do stuff.
Yep.
And the other is, what's your leadership style? Understanding that and how it affects other people.
Yep.
And then today's topic, which is difficult conversations, how to manage them. Are they good or bad? How often should you have them? How do you manage them? So we're going to talk about that on a really practical level. And so I want to start with early in your leadership. So employee one, and then two, and then three, then four, and five. How or what was your reaction to difficult conversations?
The one thing I thought I was doing well earlier in my career is that I wasn't necessarily trying to win. So I feel like at some point somebody kind of gave me some education, like the goal of this is not to like put the other person on defense and win, but the energy I brought still in those conversations was a fear of this person knows more than me. I think of like when I would meet with like managing directors of firms and I was talking about payout or resources they have, there was this nervous energy that I have to go in there and make a really strong case. And so a difficult conversation was, somebody wins, somebody loses. Okay. And I always wanted to just get it done right away. And so I was just like, come in hot, let's get this figured out.
Yeah.
And I think while it was never combative, nobody was yelling at each other, the energy in the room was a little more like,
somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose.
Somebody's holding something back. Like there was just, it was more of a unfriendly negotiation where we both could win something, but it wasn't friendly. And that had to change. And when one of the conversation I had with the guy, and he was thinking about, hey, just Sten want to come and be with our firm. And from a production level, it's like, of course, like it's a no brainer. After the meeting, he told me this months later, he was like, I almost didn't want to work with you because you weren't humble. Mm-hmm. And what I finally realized from being around other successful people is like, when they go into a room, it's like, I'm here to gather information. I don't have to make a decision right now. I want to see how this person like responds to me. Obviously the numbers are important. But the most successful people have a calmness about them in those situations.
Yeah.
And I've tried to not just try to fake that, but get deeper in like what has to be true of me for that to be my natural response.
Right. So you went to maybe not necessarily avoiding difficult conversations, but you viewed them as, if it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult. It's going to have resistance. Like someone's got to win. And I want to be the one who wins. It's like a wrestling match, like, you know, tie, you know, it's like, they're going to be a winner.
Yeah. I think my fear, mistrust, like those things were driving the interaction.
Right.
Cause at the time I didn't really have the ability to let those things exist. And at the same time, still just be kind of present. And over time, I've had to adopt where I go to this conversation still a little nervous. I'm like, I know there's the outcome I want to have. But the best way to get there is the other person feels heard. You get as much information as you can. You're curious, you're patient, you're calm. Like over time, I had to develop a different style.
Yeah. And so yours was more like, I need to win. And then the other part of difficult conversations, if someone's on a different part of the scale emotionally, I want to, we can have a difficult conversation, but the goal is at the end for them to like me. Like, that's another version of different people have that, where they're just like, hey, we can have a difficult conversation, but I know if the conversation went well, if at the end they're not mad at me. And like, that's,
yeah, a lot of times those people give in to things they later regret.
I'm not saying it's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a healthy one. But there's other people out there, it's like, well, I'll know if I did a conversation well if at the end we both are just best friends.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you need to go and like, again, have a winner, have a loser, but like, someone might leave and feel like, man, I really messed up there. Or like, you really pulled the whole "you're my boss" card. Like, yeah, I did, because I'm your boss. Right. Or I'm more, it makes me feel like I really disappointed you. It's like, yeah, because you really disappointed me. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes
isn't that honesty great?
Yeah.
Like, and if both people can kind of sit in that.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, that's not a judgment on you as a person. Like, I can, you can say, I still care about you. I still think you're doing a good job in other areas. But in this one, dude, you dropped the ball. And be like, oh, okay. Like, that's a difficult conversation, but it's not a, people, there are a certain group of people that take any negative feedback as you are saying that I am a failure as a human being. And it's like, because they tie their identity to sort of their heart and their relationship way too closely.
Yeah.
Like, everything's a big spaghetti bowl, right?
And I think there's two things that we always have to keep in mind in any hard conversation is there's two people involved. And we've spent time in episodes talking about how do we bring our best self? How do we be patient, aware of what we're feeling? But you also have to be able to sit in what the other person brings.
Mm.
Like, I've had hard conversations where that person had not done work to be able to say, like, wow, I'm scared right now because of the unknown. And that's coming out as aggressive. And you being able to be like, I'm going to give them space to do all that and not respond in time.
So you're saying when you, like, in the moment, you say, how are you feeling right now? That they're like, they're not self-aware enough to be aware. They're just feeling. They're like, I don't know, I'm just pissed. I mean,
well, that question might not even happen. Most of the time, I don't think it does. Yeah. I think it's somebody's going to
come in. You ask me that question sometimes.
I do.
Yeah.
After I've kind of done the work. But I think a lot of times you're going to go into somewhere and somebody's not going to know how to answer that, or you're not going to remember to ask.
Yeah.
And they're going to come at you in a way.
Right.
That if you can take the initial blow of their emotion.
Yeah.
And I've had these over the last year and I'm just like, wow, that's a much better result.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like, that was kind of intense.
But here's the thing. There's a difference between experiencing that and then talking about it. Like, and again, I hate to keep bringing this up, but I had a conversation with a coach this weekend when I was umpiring. And I said, hey, just time out. Literally time out. Like, apart from what we're talking about, you're just being really hostile. Like, apart from, like, you disagreed with something I did, like, can you just show some respect to me? Like, this is just man-to-man talk.
Yeah.
And he could not.
Dang.
He's like, well, you're the dude. I was like, okay. So I realized he was not emotionally aware enough to say, like, there's a difference between what you're talking about and how you're talking about it.
Yeah.
And he was not emotionally mature enough to say, oh, I'm being a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't have to be that. And I think that's the hard part is, like you said, in difficult conversations, you need to be really good at them, but also understand that if someone else hasn't done the work, like, you can't reason with unreasonable people.
That's right. And as you're listening to this, there's a chance there's some conversation that pops into your mind that they should have.
Oh.
We're all avoiding one of these to some degree. Try as we unpack this together, try to put it in context of a specific person, team member, relationship. To how can you differently bring it up if you need to? Because not all these need to be had. If the person's just not wanting it, it's not going to go well. There's some of these where I'm like, man, there's a part of me that wants to get resolution there and lean in.
But
it's like when I've let people go and I've done this twice. And I said, hey, would you like feedback on why you lost your job? And there was this one lady that said no. Yeah. But in me, I was like, that's just not true. And so I just proceeded to give feedback. And later, 2 days later, got a call from her husband because he was mad that I gave her feedback. Like, it was the weirdest thing. But sometimes it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you let the person go and say, wish you the best. And a hard conversation doesn't need to be had. But my guess is I would bet on that all of us have some degree of conversation that needs to be had.
All right.
That we should have.
So that leads us perfectly into the next part of this, which is how do you prepare for difficult conversations? And, you know, what are conversations that require a little bit more preparation instead of just going, you know what, I need to go talk to Andy about that. And you just go versus, like, actually preparing for the conversation. What do you need to do mentally, emotionally, and then almost like, you know, on paper? Like, what are some things you can do to prepare for what is going to be, and again, difficult doesn't mean it's hostile. It doesn't mean it's going to get personal. It just means that this is going to be one of those time out. We need to have a conversation about what's going on instead of what's going on. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I lead with curiosity. I have to just remind myself that, like, I want to ask really great questions. Why did we end up here? What was your experience? If I can get them to just share, because there's usually something that I'm missing that I'm like, I didn't anticipate that because I see the world completely differently.
Yeah.
So unless you tell me that you see it this way and it's triggering you this way, I could have never known. And so curiosity, whether that's business or personal, is important. From a business standpoint, you always need data.
Yeah.
If ever I'm having a conversation with a team member about performance or a client, any hard conversation, if I'm basing it off of how I feel they're doing, that's a problem. And I did that early on. Now Legacy has a monthly scorecard. Everybody right. has KPIs.
Yeah, I love it. Try to know their emotion, right?
And I can say, here's why we're here.
Yeah.
Explain to me why this is happening. And that's where the curiosity kicks in. Outside of business, you're probably, if this is a marriage thing, like, do not go to this person with a running list of things. I would say lead with curiosity and connect.
Man, pause. Just pause real quick. We're going to repeat that because we care about you. Okay.
Yes.
Is that the... Here's the 17 points that I found documented with date, time stamps, you know, and I do have some audio recordings as well of the 17 issues. Like, that is not going to work. Yeah. But
that would help us spin up our business of that house with a bunch of couches in it for guys to crash on.
That's right. That's right. They've taken our bad advice house. But I was thinking about when people are not prepared for. Well, I was thinking of, you asked a question of that I thought was really healthy when you thought something wasn't going well. And you said, how do you think that went? This wasn't with me, it was someone else, but you said, how do you think that went? And they're like, it was awesome. and that's such a healthy question because if you want to come in as a leader and you're like, that is not going well, or that was a failure. Okay. And if you just come in with, this is not going well, or that's a failure, you're not going to get as much out of that, even if it's true. If you don't begin first with, tell me about how you think things are going, or how do you think that went, or what do you think is going well, what do you think is not going well? Yeah. So you don't sort of show your cards right away.
That's right.
Because they might think everything's great. And then you say, all right, tell me why you think things are going so well. Oh, because this, this, and this. And it might be that you did not give clear instructions on this was what was expected.
Yeah. That's a great example. I want to unpack that a little bit, just like practically how this played out. So we were looking for just like a marketing coordinator, somebody to help with events, communications to clients. So we hired somebody there in their first 90 days and they spin up a business owner event. And we're teaching, I think on a book, it might've been Who Not How. So we're going to meet with business owners in a room, get 20 business owners in a room. Let's talk about this book, the concept, and more of a workshop feel.
Yeah.
And so I step away. In the past, I've tried to help fill these events and I say, okay, I'm going to let this person run with it, ask for help if they need it, to just see how do they handle from start to finish. And we get 4 days out from the event and they have like two people signed up. And I'm like, that's a problem. So
hold on, let me carry the seven. Yeah, that's less than 20.
Not the best use of my time to show up and speak for an hour and do the whole thing. And so I was like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Should we cancel the event? And they're like, no, we can fill it. And so I end up getting like five or six clients and friends to show up that really wanted to be there, but they weren't like the best prospects. Day of the event comes, they only got one person in the room and the other six were people I scrambled last minute to get in there. I'm frustrated, but hey, some events go better than others. Like you just roll with it. It wasn't until after the event that I asked this person, how do you think that went? And they said it was great. And I said, well, why do you think it was great? Well, it felt really intimate. And I was like... And so where I was already feeling some tension of like, obviously our results are different. We talked about what our goal was to fill the room.
Yeah.
This person didn't come to me and give me more updates and feedback.
Yeah.
That it didn't even lead to another hard conversation because what I gained from that was like our result targets are in completely different planets. In your world, you getting one person to an event is it went well because it's intimate. My response to that was like, awesome. Like, I just don't think we're a good fit.
Yeah.
If that's kind of what you're shooting for, we're shooting for something different. So the curiosity really helps. Like, okay, is this person open to it? Is it going to benefit us? So I've also had other conversations with team members where I was like, this is hard, but now we trust each other more because we sat in it. Yeah. We asked questions. We got back on the same page and now that brought us closer together.
Yeah.
And you do that a couple of times, but then you kind of look at the scorecard and the results aren't changing.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're having hard conversations and not running from it, but hey, this isn't working because it's still not changing.
Yeah. And I think that there are times when, yes, you need to go to the data. There's other times that you can have a conversation around and say, hey, listen, you're right. The data says that we're not doing well. Here's why I think that's happening. Mm-hmm. And the other person might say, well, here's why I think this is happening. And you realize that you're both pointing at each other.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. That's good to have that conversation versus just get to the end and it doesn't get done. Or it's not like, it's really important to stop and work on it. And it's fascinating to me. And I've seen this dynamic a lot when we did some work with administrators. How many administrators were like, they treated me like Dr. Phil. Like they're like, felt like that, like I was their shrink or whatever, because they wouldn't bring up difficult conversations with their advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And our advisor wouldn't bring up difficult conversations with them. It was just this sort of like subservient, there was no conversations happening.
Yeah.
And it was a really unhealthy environment because one person felt like they weren't doing a good enough job and the other person felt like they were being too harsh. And it was like, this is healthy people have difficult conversations.
Mm.
This is, we're not talking about have as few of these as possible. Don't live in, you know, constant arguing and constant difficult conversations. And that's the question I want to ask you is, how many times should you have a difficult conversation about the same topic? And it's a broad question.
Yeah, but I think it depends. Sometimes it's, hey, one, I have enough clarity. There's also wisdom in like, I'm not just going to pursue this because I know most likely what the outcome is.
Okay.
I'm not going to keep this person in this role because they're saying the same thing and I'm saying something different.
Right.
Like, it's just not going to work. There's other times to where I think the good hard conversations grow, that as you develop that relationship, you need to continue to have them.
Yes.
Forever.
Yeah.
I do think that, and I have this with some junior advisors when we talk about compensation or upside or, hey, Sen, do you think I'm ready to take on some of my own clients? I will say, hey, here's what we're looking at, but I don't want to keep talking about this every day.
Yeah.
Like, we need to let this thing run. Yeah.
You know, I had a conversation like that one time, and you're like, hey, it's fine. We had this conversation, and I'm happy we had this conversation. I don't want to talk about this again.
For a little bit.
And
I think what you need to do for the person, if you say that to them, is to give them confidence that someday you will meet again. I remember I worked with another advisor, and he was so hard to sit with.
Really?
That if I had a question about my compensation or, hey, where's the business going? He was so elusive that I was like, every time I got a meeting, it felt like everything had to be accomplished because I didn't ever know where I got a shot again.
To catch them again. Yeah.
And so I think with your team, be accessible to some degree. And I've learned, and this might be jumping ahead a little bit, is that when I prepare for conversations, or if we had a framework, and this is something I've kind of, we haven't put on paper, but I always want to be curious, but I always try to lead with, here's how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I never want to be like, you're making me feel this way. I would say to, you know, hey, team member, I have fear that I'm maybe not setting great expectations with you and you're underperforming based on the data. And my fear is that's not going to change because maybe, you know, I won't present it in a way that you receive it. And I just want to kind of talk that out.
Yeah.
I've made it completely about me and maybe what I'm hung up or frustrated on and have not mentioned right. what they've done wrong.
Right. The alternative to that, just as a comparison, is, you know, let's say their name is Mike, you know, hey, Mike, you're failing at this.
Right. I hear you saying that.
Or, hey, Mike, you don't care, which is like, maybe they do care.
Yeah.
And maybe they just, you know, they have a different. And here's the thing. You can't say you're short and this other person says, oh, no, I hit the mark, if you don't agree on the measuring stick.
Yeah.
And so that's part of this, too, is help me understand. These are really healthy phrases. Help me understand this. How are you feeling about this? Tell me about your understanding of, you know, explain to me. And not in a negative way, but explain to me why we took these steps. And again, and you can say, I'm not judging the step, just explain to me why we're doing it in this order.
Yeah.
And then be curious. Like, I think being curious and saying things like, that's interesting, instead of that's dumb.
Yeah.
Right. Or those are healthy, mature things to do. But I also think that, and this is my last time in a difficult conversation, so if you have more, please mm-hmm. keep going. But is that I think the healthier the relationship you have, I do think the more difficult conversations you have, but they're short. They're generally like, they can be abbreviated because you don't have this long, you might have occasional long drawn out one, but it's like, I'm not going to be afraid to say what is a little uncomfortable to me and maybe for them because I trust the relationship can handle it.
Yeah. Practically, I do always leave more time in my schedule when I'm having one of these. There's been times where I kind of rushed out of it. And I was like, man, that was the time where I needed to sit in it.
Oh, that's fair.
And get the feedback. So I'd say if you're planning one of these, you know, and you're like, don't do 30 minutes, at least give it an hour block. So you give it permission. Like if it's going well and connections being made and they're opening up to you. You're not jumping
out of the meeting. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
My most recent difficult conversation, I was able to open it because we do track results and data pretty well at Legacy, and we're getting trying to get better at all the time, is I was able to say, hey, here's the situation the company's in.
Yeah.
The status quo is not acceptable. So something has to change. And so I've just let them know that, like, we're not going to keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So let's together talk about what where we go from here.
Right.
And in this case, it was that person changing a role and having somebody be essentially accountable for them.
Yeah.
And to some degree, it felt like a demotion. And initially, that person was open to it. And then we had another conversation and they were like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't hang in it. But I'd known this person for over 10 years, still care about them, like want them to win. But as a business owner who is in charge of making decisions for the company as a whole, I had to lean in and be like, I've been put in a position now because these things haven't happened that I have to make a change.
Yeah.
And it wasn't personal at that point. And it was, I need you not even to give me reasons, because that's where the conversation started going. And where I had to lean in was like, I don't need any reasons, because those are really excuses. We have to make a change. Yeah. And I'm curious what your feedback is on what's the best way forward.
Yeah.
And eventually I got to a place where it's like, it's me not in that role.
Yeah, sure. And I think the helpful thing about that is if you make it about the data that you, and again, somebody agreed, somebody made up that data, somebody decided that. It's like, yeah, it is about what you decided maybe as a business leader. But if you say, hey, we agreed on this when we weren't in conflict and this wasn't difficult, so that's not happening. What do you think we should do about that?
Yeah.
Right. And the answer needs to be either they're going to really change your behavior or someone else is going to be in that role. And that's fine. But when you make the conversation not about, hey, you are failing in this thing, it's more about, hey, this is what the data is telling us, then it doesn't feel personal. It feels like, it's the job's not going to be done.
Yep. And if you haven't, as we wrap up, have had an uncomfortable, difficult conversation recently, you are avoiding one. You might be really good at ignoring it to the degree you think everything's okay.
Yeah.
If you lead a company with people involved, they're going through life, they have feelings and opinions. If you are not communicating really consistently, they are telling themselves a story and writing a story that's different than what you perceive. That whether it's junior advisors, staff members, you need to sit down at times and ask, hey, how do you think things are going?
Yeah.
Where do you think I could do better?
Yeah.
And this will lead to maybe the first one, they don't feel comfortable kind of laying it all out, give them feedback, but you need to create this space and saying, hey, I know there's things I can do better.
Yeah.
But for the good of the team, we have to put it out on the table. Yeah. And I know that's hard sometimes, but like for me, I just want to be honest that sometimes when I lead, I have a tendency to get in business mode.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear is that the people that work for me don't think I care.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, thanks for sharing that fear. Because that's a legitimate fear I have and something I've worked on, that you have to lead and create that space and you have to show by example.
Yeah. And the last thing I would say is I think of, you ever go to a store and they're doing inventory while the store is open? Like they hire a company to come in and say like inventory everything, like everything in the store, but we still have to kind of be in business. There's something healthy about saying, hey, we got to keep functioning, but like, let's try to take inventory, like take a real inventory of how much we have. Like, we got to still answer the phones and we still got to, you know, have lunch and show up at 8 and leave at 4:30 or whatever. But let's take a larger inventory of where things are at. There's something really healthy about that. And if you haven't done it, you need to. And the only reason you're not going to is you're scared about what you might find.
That's right.
And I would just say that the things that scare us are often the signs of where exactly we should be going versus I'm going to run away. Yeah. Right.
That's good.
So
our challenge to everyone is don't go guns a blazing right now down the hallway to
see. Meeting at 5:00, everybody. meeting right now, everybody.
Yeah. But that you would identify a potential conversation and kind of set some time aside to sit on it, maybe get on a whiteboard. And
we give you permission to choose the easiest, difficult
to start. Yes. Yeah. And say, well, how could I approach this? Not based on like just what your gut tells you, because there's a chance that is not well informed or trained. That you actually
my gut has never been well informed or trained. I don't know. Yeah.
What questions would I ask? Like, it's so specific to say, I'm going to lead with, hey, could you help explain this to me? Why do you think we did it this way?
Yeah, help me.
And lead with sharing something about yourself. Share, here's why this is hard for me. Here's what my fear is about this situation.
Yeah.
That creates and opens a vulnerability. But all of us are avoiding one of these. Doesn't mean you need to have it tomorrow. But start trying to be aware of when you're emotional intelligence is triggered to be like, hey, there's something here that
yeah.
may be going sideways
yeah.
and we're not going to wait till it's completely on fire and going off the cliff just to get better at that skill.
You're really good all in this. You're really good at saying, and I've gotten better at it too, of saying, hey, let's have a quick conversation about that. Like initially, like if it feels like things are weird, have a conversation. Yeah. Like, don't wait, like go ahead and have the conversation as quickly and early as possible and initiate those. That's the healthiest version of this, is you're pursuing them because they'll be easier versus avoiding them.
Yep. And if it goes well, hashtag cried together, post the picture to us. No, I'm kidding. All right, y'all. You have a good week.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for listening to that episode. I want to invite you to tune into episode 167 that we'll be releasing in February of 2025. It specifically interviews three different advisors about their experience adding planning or improving their planning business based on the things that we teach at our live event and in our coaching program. And the reason I think that you're going to really enjoy it is because it's advisors with different amounts of experience implementing planning in different ways, who all paid their own money, their own investment to come and to get trained or coached by us. And I think you'll be encouraged to hear about how they implemented what they learned. And I hope, and Sten and I, we both hope that you'll consider joining us at our in-person event in April of 2025, because that really is where we find advisors who take the time to step out of their day-to-day life, who then go home and implement what we teach, that they find the most success. And that's what we want for you, to become an elite advisor. And so please check out that episode 167. And as always, thanks for listening.